We're so blessed by our worship team and their leadership. Get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 4. Scripture should be up on screen. But hear the word of God into our lives. Paul writes, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with the community and the family of the church as we enter into your house. You've blessed us with worship. Now, dear Lord, I know that there are people and marriages and families that are gathered here that are struggling. And I know that your Holy Spirit is not only in our midst, but your Holy Spirit is ready to pour into our hearts and into our lives. So, dear Lord, I pray that hearts would be open to hear what you have to say. And I pray that lives would respond in accordance to your word and to your spirit. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. All right, I know a lot of you got stuff going on in your life. Stuff is in, like, you know, it's a busy time of year, getting into August. We have school coming up. You may be going back to college. You back to school events. I mean, it's a busy time. You also may have certain stress factors in life. Maybe that's a job. Maybe it's conflict. Maybe it's a lack of a job. I say this to you because for the next 30 minutes, please push that out, because what I'm going to say, there is nothing more important for your lives, for your marriages, for your families, okay? Nothing more important. We are this month highlighting RAISE. You see RAISE out in the foyer. RAISE is how we live out our mission here as a church. Last week we talked about your individual time with God, be it quiet time, be it devotion, rise with God. If you weren't here, I hope you'll listen to that podcast. It was a powerful sermon and service. Today, we're talking about your family. Now, your family may be your marriage. Your family may be a broken marriage and kids. Your family may be your parents. It's just your family. And I get asked this more about RAISE than anything else, and that is A, meaning accept your family role. And what I get asked is, okay, well, what do I have to accept? I mean, what is my family role? I think it's great that people ask that question, in that they're trying to think about what is their role in their individual family and how do they live that out. So before I get into the message, I would say this is a premise for everything else. Before you can fully love, you must fully accept. Okay? Before you can fully love, you must fully accept. And then you'd ask, accept what? Well, there are some things all of us must accept before we can fully love, as in love the way Jesus loved, as in love the way he wants us to love, okay? First thing, accept that there is a higher and a greater love that some of you may not know and some of you may not be living out. That there is a higher love than what we know here on earth. A couple verses in this passage. Love is highlighted. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Verse 28, so husbands ought to love their wives. verse 33, nevertheless, each individual also is to love his own wife. A lot about husbands loving their wife. But what I want you to know is that very word love, in the Greek, it is called agape. Okay? Agape. Now, this you may hear Greek, and oh boy, that's over my head. This is really simple stuff, okay? The Greeks had different forms and different variations of the word love. Just like we have different forms and variations of love, but we just don't write it out. For example, I can say to a buddy, man, I love you, brother. Or, you know, I love you, buddy. I love you, man. Love you, dude. I can say to Jack and Logan, I love you. And that means something very different than what I would say to a buddy or a dude. I can say, I love you, Linda. And that's something very different than what I would say or what I would mean to Jack and Logan. Okay? So the Greek language actually spelled these differences out. So first there was love of family or children. Greece called it storge. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. But that would be a love for your children, a love for your parents, a love for your family. Then there was the word philia, love for a friend, like a brother. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That's where it comes from, just a note. And then there's eros, love for your wife, romantic love. Eros leads into erotic. So there is that kind of love, the attractional love. There's the sexual love and lead to romance. But for most marriages, they would use the term eros. Then there's this higher form of love they call agape. Agape love. And if I could define it, and in my own humble words, I always try to define it as it's totally self-sacrificing. It's totally unconditional. No matter what the other person does, there is a love. And get this, it is totally unnatural. Let me say that again and hear me. It is totally unnatural that in our own bodies, in our minds, in our souls, we don't have the capacity to give that type of love. Therefore, it has got to come somewhere else, and that somewhere else is Christ and His love. And if we have His love and we seek His love, then His love can penetrate us and can flow out of us into other relationships in our life. Now, I can make it sound simple, but it's a lot, can be a lot more challenging than that. But what I would say is to have that type of love, self-sacrificing, unconditional, unnatural, agape love, we have to subordinate the other loves in our life to the love of Christ. C.S. Lewis, I think many of you know C.S. Lewis. He wrote the Narnia books. He wrote a lot of other books too. And if you want to explore the loves more, he actually wrote a book called The Four Loves. And so he traced these four loves. And he actually had a great point in the book. And it said that if you misunderstand or mistake your love, you can corrupt that very love. Let me give you an example of how this is played out. If you're a wife and you fall in love with this dude, and I mean, I know we got some Don Juans in here, right? Raise your hand. I know you, I mean, awesome. There you go, right there. That little dude. We got some Don Juan Romeos and the wife. Or maybe before you were the wife, you were the lovely young lady and you fall in love with your knight shining armor. And so you have this love. And then, this is what C.S. Lewis is talking about. You mistake that love for the highest love that there is. And then one day, you begin to see the chinks in the armor. One day you begin to see the cracks. One day you begin to see the flaws. And you're like, shocker, he's not perfect, you know. Some of y'all are probably thinking that rolling in this morning. And so you can fall out of romantic love. Because sometimes the chinks or sometimes the cracks can turn into just gigantic wedges that divide a marriage and divide a family. And you mistake your love for what true love coming from Christ is. And then all of a sudden, not only have you fallen out of love, you're saying you question your marriage, you question your life, all of this. Happened on the other side. Us guys see a lovely, beautiful young lady that we want to romance and sweep her off her feet and everything. Then we get married, and then we're sitting on the couch in a month and trying to watch that football game. And I'm not going to use a word that comes to mind, but she would not so subtly ask us to do this or that. You know what I'm talking about? And we're like, man, I need my guy time. I know some brothers here have got some awesome man caves, and I don't have that yet. But I know what it's like to have your guy time. And, you know, and you're like, well, hey, sweetie, you know, come on. And then all of a sudden, maybe she wants you to do more. Maybe she wants you to be someone. You're like, man, I'm not that type of person. I'm not that guy. And all of a sudden, that girl, lady, woman that you wanted to sweep off your feet, she begins to look different. And all of a sudden, their chinks and their cracks. And you mistake the love that you had for the greatest love of all. And you fall out of love. And you may have two people who've fallen out of love. It can also happen with our kids. I'll give you one other example. Parents, our kids are born. They are perfect. They're perfect. They're darling. They're sweet. They grow up. We see they're not so perfect. Not so perfect. And we mistake a family love, a parental love, a love for our children, we mistake it for the supernatural love of Christ, that if we have that, we can not overlook the flaws or imperfections, but we can say, man, I'm going to help raise you up, as Jeff was talking about, to know Christ and to have his love. So what do we do? Again, I believe that you have to first know and accept that there is a higher form of love that we don't in our own natural selves have the capacity to have. But it's there. And it's easy to have. And we find it in Christ. And we find it in his love. And we find it from the unconditional self-sacrificing love that a man went to the cross and died and then rose again so that we would have life. And that God so loved the world that he sent him to do that. That is agape love. And if we begin to subordinate, as in put the other loves under that love, then I believe that love changes us. Flows through us, our marriages changes, our relationship with our children change, all of our relationships can change. Linda told me one time, she didn't know I'm going to say this, I'm going to probably use her, may use her a couple times today, if that's okay. But she said, you know, John Hugh, I no longer look to you to fulfill all my emotional and I think she said spiritual and needs. And I'm like, whoa, you know, shocker there. She said, I look to Christ. I look to Christ first. He is the one who fills me up. And then, and it's very true, our marriage is better. Our family life is better. So accept there's a higher form of love. Accept that it's not in you. Accept that it's in Christ and he can grant it to you. And the love you have for everybody else can totally change. Accept the biblical role of marriage. Accept the biblical role of marriage. Let's read again, verse 30 through 32. It says, because we are members of his body of Christ. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Those may just be a couple verses to you, but Paul here is tying marriage between a man and a woman to the relationship of Jesus and the church. Do you get that? Jesus Christ, his church, his body here on earth, he's comparing that to marriage between a man and a woman. He's using the same verse that was in Genesis. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Those words that Jesus used, it's found in each of the four Gospels, Paul then uses. And saying, this is how a marriage should be. That it should be like Christ and his church. What did Christ do? He died for the church. Wow, I mean, let that sink in. Marriage should be like Christ and the church. If you think of marriage like that, if you live marriage out like that, then it just, I believe it changes you. It changes your marriage. And we are losing, I dare not say we have lost, but we are losing the biblical role of marriage in our world, but not just in our world, in our church. in our churches. What's the biblical role of marriage? Well, first and foremost, I mean, it's a man and a woman. And, you know, it's interesting to me how we ask elected officials to put their hand on the Bible, but then when we make laws, we just want to throw the Bible out. Marriage is a man and a woman. Marriage should sustain your love. As in, we are in the mindset, and a lot of teachers and a lot of self-help gurus and a lot of just experts out there say, hey man, get a greater love, fall in love again, and it's going to sustain your marriage. The biblical role of marriage is the marriage sustains your love. Do you hear what I'm saying? That if marriage was created by God, ordained by God, instituted by God, that is a holy relationship. If marriage is really compared to Christ and His church, then that holy relationship and that has been ordained by God and that which the Catholics hold it as a sacrament. Now, we don't go so far as that, but that it is the work of God that the marriage sustains your love. And then last, biblically, the only reason to leave or depart from a marriage given in Scripture is adultery. Now then, let me have a caveat there, is that so many people in so many marriages don't go into marriage and don't live out their marriage as in the biblical role of marriage, and they live thinking, hey man, you know, my love's going to sustain my marriage, or hey, I'm going to continue romancing and maybe she'll fall in love with me again, or maybe I'll fall in love with her again, and we have this totally different concept of marriage. Therefore, there are marriages that end up in divorce because of physical abuse. And if I say this, if there's physical abuse, get out. Get out. There's emotional abuse. So there are other reasons where there's a divided marriage. But one of the main reasons why, I believe, is you don't enter into it with the biblical role of what marriage is and what it should be for your life. And the bottom line is that God created it, and it's to be good. And yes, you're going to fall out. We're going to fall out of that romantic love. But there's something greater that we can have, and that marriage can sustain that. I pray for all of our marriages. And I know life is complicated, and I know that there are situations. And what we need to do, I think, man, we need to have a reboot. And that's why I'm preaching on this today, is to try, in my humble brokenness, to help you see what marriage is designed to be. He lays it out here, Paul does, in Ephesians. Marriage, think of it as Christ in the church. That's what it's to be. If you start thinking of it like that, then and praying for it to be that, and I believe our marriages can be something different and new and wonderful. And man, we may have couple after couple wanting to renew vows. Man, I'm totally good with that. But to see their marriage and see their life and accept it as Scripture has it. Accept that there's a higher love. Accept the role of marriage. And then accept your role in the marriage. Let's go to these controversial verses of Scripture. Verse 22 again. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. The role of a wife. Again, those couple verses have been used and also manipulated and slammed, and so we're just going to hit them straight on. Wives. Role of wife. God is an orderly God. God has an order for everything. God is very, very orderly. He has an order to our family life. The wife is not to be the spiritual leader of the family. Now, that being said, I know both here and other Christian families and other churches that we have some wives who are aching for spiritual leadership in their family. And we have men who may bring home the bacon, but they are weak as spiritual leaders. Actually, weak is too good of a word. They are deadbeats as spiritual leaders. And men here, I hope I'm appealing to your sense of ego, because I know we got it, to say that some of you may be weak and may be deadbeat as the spiritual leader of your house. and that wives are longing for that. Not just to have leadership in the finances, or not just to have leadership with the children, but have a spiritual leader in the home that directs their family to Christ. So what is the role of the wife if you live in that situation? Why not say, man, love and support your man. Keep loving and supporting your guy and encourage him. And secondly, pray that the Holy Spirit convicts him. I mean, pray to God that, God, just convict my husband, because I know he's got it to be the spiritual leader of our house. And raise him up, God, and show him things that I can't. Use my wife again as example. We first got married. I think it's always a struggle to find your role in your marriage. We first got married. And let me just be honest. I was not living my role out as spiritual leader of our house. And we got into a lot of conflict, primarily because Linda was warning and begging me to take that. And, you know, for multiple reasons, I just wasn't. And she said, she started praying. It's like, God, you convict him. And I was convicted. The role of the wife, man, love, support your husband, and pray that the Holy Spirit convict him. Husbands, your role. Those verses were controversial, but it calls us as men to a higher standard, a much higher standard. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Love our wives. Uplift them. It says here, Christ uplifted the church, that the church was without blemish. She was holy and blameless. Do we do that, men, guys? Do we lift up our wife? Do we pray for her? Do we lead her? Do we love our wives as Christ loved the church? And get this, and I love that Paul says this. He says, love your wife like you would love your own body. I know he got some brothers, and I see men that love their bodies. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's through exercise or Iron Man or working out or diets, and I mean, just want to look perfect. And let me be even more honest, man, I can fall into that trap because of what our culture wants to present and how we should look and how we should be. And I love how the Bible goes into this. Love your wives, you love your own body. Do we love her that much? I mean, that's a good question, I know, for a lot of men. Do you love your wife more than you love your own body? And then he goes on, again, comparing it to Christ and the church. Do we love our wife as Christ loved the church? What did Jesus do? He died for the church. You know, I've been asked before, question, you talk about spiritual leadership, and they're like, hey man, how do you start that? Where do I start? I believe you just start by loving your wife. Loving your wife. Trying to love her as Jesus loved the church. And again, going back, we don't have the full capacity to do that, so therefore we got to look to somebody else. And we got to get on our knees and repent and say, Father, Savior, Jesus, give me what I need, because I don't have it in me to be the spiritual leader of my house, to love my wife like you call us to. Other roles. Role of a mom. A mom can't be a dad. And you know, I know we've got some single moms here, and I know a lot of single moms. My heart breaks for them. But as the church, we need to support and uplift them. A father can't be a mom. Going to those verses in chapter 6, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. They were called as dads, as fathers, to not provoke them to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to raise our children to know Christ. Get this, children can't be parents. You kids that are in here, and I know you're not kids. I mean, you're dudes, and you know. But hey, you got your folks for 18 years, and your parents run the house. You can't run the house. Accept your family role. And get this, parents can't be children. Accept your family. Parents can't be children. Just put it point blank. When you have a child, when you have a human being, the partying needs to stop. The endless partying or the ceaseless partying, you're responsible for a child. You're responsible for the life of a human being. Accept your role. Parents can't be the children. Accept your role. Everything I've said before, you will fail at, we will fail at, I will fail at, unless we accept our role in the family of God, that we are broken and we humble ourselves and say, God Almighty, I need your help to be the man, to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the child, to be the parent. I need your help. One last passage, Ephesians, this is a different passage, Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 12. Paul writes, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Accept our role that we are frail, that we are broken, and that we will be broken again. Accept our role as humble children of God who is there to help, who has armor for us, and that there is a war going on that wants to destroy our lives and our families and our marriages, and we can't save them on our own. We've got to have God. And unless we accept that we need Him, unless we accept our role as His created beings and we look to Him, we're going to fail. We're going to get destroyed. And so many people, by their own might and by their own power, they say, okay, my marriage is broken. I'm going to fix it. My child is broken. I'm going to fix him or her. My family is just broken. I'm going to charge in there. Humble ourselves. Get on our knees on the altars and say, God, pour into my life. Be part of a church family. Get part of an accountability group. Let me give a shout out here. Ted Duckworth, I don't know where you are, but Ted leads a men's group on Tuesday mornings. And sometimes that can have a ton of our men, and sometimes it may just be him and another guy having coffee. Man, us men, we need a group like that. And maybe it's not Ted's group, but we need a men's group to say, man, I am broken. I need God. I need to see other men seeking God. I need to learn how to do that. I want to change my life. Accept your role as a broken child of God in need of Him. And then last, accept our role as the church. I want to go back again. Paul here talks about the church, the bride of Christ. He compares marriage between a man and woman to Christ and the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. I mean, that's supernatural. That's something that's not of this world. I so believe in the local church. I so believe that it's the hope of the world. I so want churches to partner together to raise the kingdom here, because we can't do it on our own, and Christ United can't do it on their own, or First Baptist or Pine Lake or whoever it is. But the local church together can raise men, can raise women, can raise marriages, can raise families. And we need to believe that. We need to believe that, man, Christ ordained the church to be His body and to be His life and to live His life together. It's who we are. So accept your role that you can't find Christ outside the community of a local church. And we want to be His body. We want to be His community. We want to be His family. Because there is severe brokenness right here. There is severe brokenness in every church. But I still believe Christ is the great physician. Christ is the healer. Christ can change lives. Christ can change marriages. And man, we're going to do it. Together, not on our own, but infused with the power of the Holy Spirit to see Jesus here and meet Jesus here and be raised as men and women and families. Amen? Amen. Last thing I would say is, man, I believe in families. Families are the marriage ordained by God. Children raised by parents. And we've got broken families. We got single moms. We got single dads. We're going to heal them. We are going to heal them by the power of Christ. We've got just singles who are seeking for a godly marriage and a new life. Man, let's commit to do all we can to let them see it. For some of you who are married and are living in Christ, and help them find it. Let's commit that the broken marriage is here. We're going to do everything in our power to heal them. And there is, again, there's severe brokenness. But that is not going to stop us from bringing healing through Christ. There is severe brokenness in that we have men who are not being spiritual leaders. That's not going to stop us. We're going to encourage and pray and raise leaders of families. And we got kids who are going through struggles, teenagers, young kids. That's not going to stop us. We're going to be the body of Christ. We're going to raise these kids up, not by our might, not by our strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is His church. Do you want to be His church, or are you just coming to church on a Sunday? You need to say you want to be His church, right? Amen. His church, His body, can heal, can forgive, can reconcile, can save through Christ our Lord. That is what the church is about. That is who we are. We are His family. And as His family, we're going to strengthen our families. Let's start today. There's no better time, no better place. We're going to take communion as a family. No matter if you're a member of this church, we're His family. Family of Jesus. Let's be it. Together. Let's live it. And let's help others find it for their families.